Hello. The seatbelt check is around the corner.
You actually were telling the truth.
I do that quite a lot. Your people are always surprised.
Welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be some turbulence up ahead. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
To those guests who've just joined us, welcome.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Randy.
I am Dak.
And this is Ryan.
And we're here in a new format this week, boys. This is the first time we are recording this from three different locations.
This is a game changer.
Yeah, this is epic. So this, we're stepping into the next realm of podcasting where we are branching out and try to, we think this will open up a lot of doors for our show. So we're super excited about this. If we can get this to work, then that means we're going to start to branch out and hopefully have, you know, guests from different locations, us from different locations. It could just be a pretty amazing next step in Escaping to the Magic Podcast. So we're very pumped about this.
You know, what's really interesting about it is we're such a bunch of amateurs. It took us a long time to figure out that we could kind of do it this way. I think, you know, sometimes you figure out one way and no matter how difficult it is, you just keep going with it because that's the way that you know. But we've been talking about this for months. Like, how do we do it a little bit differently? How do we do it a little bit better? How do we make it easier? You two live pretty close to each other, but you both live pretty far away from me. I mean, it's a good, like, if traffic's good, it can be 30 plus 40 minute drive to get over here, right? And I always feel a little bit guilty about that. I mean, not too guilty, but a little bit guilty.
Yeah. I was gonna say, don't feel
but I think this will be awesome. I think it gives us a lot of flexibility and opportunities. And you're right, Dak. We all know of people that we'd love to be able to bring on the show, and this helps add that dynamic without overcomplicating things. Technology is just amazing. What you can do with it and what you can do essentially for free, which is what we're doing, which is good since we don't make any money off of this show.
That's right.
Yeah, that's been one of the central themes of our podcast.
Yeah.
Any potential
money.
marketers out there or advertisers, hit us up.
So everyone, we are super excited this week to talk about what we are going to call our non-negotiables of Disney. And that is those things that we absolutely refuse to do without.
Yeah. So not going is a non-negotiable. Let's just get that out of the way right now.
Yeah. That's our starting point.
Yeah. So it's downhill from there.
I would agree. Having said that, I've missed out on a couple of trips lately, one with y'all, one with my wife. So I'm feeling like it's time that I prove that really is a non-negotiable for me. It's time for me to get something on the books.
So Randy, your wife was just there, right?
Yeah. She had a small girl's trip to go out there. You know, we've talked about this before. She's a travel agent like Dak is. Books Disney travel. Sometimes that comes with some perks, which includes, you know, for a travel agent, either a free or a discounted ticket, depending on what it is. And she said, hey, the year's coming up. I got to make sure I use my ticket. And of course, I'm like, sure, go. You know, you got a free ticket. We've got plenty of air miles. You can stay like super cheap on property. And that was the plan. And it almost worked, but she did go. So,
where did she end up staying?
Port Orleans, I think.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
That's a bucket list item.
I could be wrong and she'll correct me later. Fun fact for all of our listeners. Sometimes what I say isn't actually true.
Hey, but listen,
not for lack of trying. I don't intentionally make stuff up.
You're not intentionally trying to mislead the listeners. You're just projecting an aura of confidence.
Well, as she'll tell you, sometimes I'm just wrong.
Hey, what I was going to ask you guys when we were talking about non-negotiables and going to Disney, what would you say is the longest stint you have gone outside of COVID? I know that's out of our control, but What would you say is the longest break you've had? I know it's not voluntarily, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like, how long have you gone without going to Disney?
Oh, that's I'll tell. So I went during COVID a few times.
Sure.
So I think the last time I went, so May of 2021, and then after that visit, it was our guys trip in 22, September of 22. So maybe a year, not quite a year and a half, but has been probably the longest for
Wow.
me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoiled.
That's pretty long. That's
Yeah.
pretty long.
It, yeah.
I think
But
since
since but
we
since but since September 22, I've been three times. So
Well, okay. I mean,
not complaining.
that's all right. At
Yeah.
least once a year, right? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think since we started going pretty regularly in 2015, I think the longest I've gone was pretty much a year. It was that year between 15 and 16. And then after 16, I think we've been pretty regular. I mean, the last few years alone, it's been at least 3 times a year, in each of the last 3 years. So maybe the longest break in between those has been 6, 7 months at the most.
Right.
I guess the better question is, what's the shortest in between trips? And for me, it
Ooh,
was a
that's a
week.
great question. That's a
Yeah.
great
That was
question.
a it was a week for you, Randy?
Yep. I
Yeah.
had it was a week in between trips. That's my shortest break.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Great.
But I think we need to qualify that a little bit. I think we're not made of money. So, like these
This
are not
show, we're
ex
not making money off this show, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Did we mention
Yeah.
that part?
So these are not extravagant trips. I think we've learned how to make Disney affordable, for lack of better words, in a certain way. So, like this is we're not talking about, blowing out, uber luxurious accommodations, dining plans, all of that good stuff. I think at least for me, it's been very manageable trips. Just maybe staying off site, a few times. Maybe not going with my family a few times.
Well, it's interesting. Cale and I, we have toyed with this idea for a long time. While we were pass holders, we're not pass holders right now. We both let our annual passes expire because we didn't have a trip planned to do that. So it makes sense, like, okay, if we don't have something planned, let's wait to renew until we get something closer and have that make more sense. So we don't have an annual
That's
pass right
a
now, but
dangerous game, man.
it is super dangerous. And it makes me, I don't feel very good about
Well,
that.
because you know what happened to us, right?
I know exactly what
We
happened to you in that.
lost. We decided that same thing. We gave up our annual passes because we knew there wasn't a trip on the horizon. And
Yep.
then they
And
took
then
them away.
COVID.
And they
Yep.
took them away. Yep.
Yep.
And when
Then
they came
COVID,
back, they
new
were more
rules.
expensive than ever. So.
Yeah. So we don't have anything, but when we had them, we kept thinking, we really ought to just do, we ought to do the day trip, right? We can fly out of Houston. There's a 5:40 a.m. flight. We could fly right in. We could do a park that day. We could hit the 11:20 flight back home, and we could just do it in a day. I've wanted to do it for a long time. You take no luggage, you take nothing. You get off the plane, you go right to the park, you do it Randy style, and then you limp back to the plane and stumble home. We haven't done it yet, but that I it's on, I guess I don't want to call it a bucket list, but it's on the list.
It's a
Yeah.
non-negotiable.
Well, I don't know if I go that far, but yeah, it's gonna happen. It's
Yeah.
gonna happen.
Well, I say we get into this. Let's talk about a few things. So just let's go maybe big picture and then dial it down to some of our own personal choices. So right off the bat, if you could, let's just use your example. If you're going in for one day and one day only to Disney, and just to play the game, you do not have a park hopper of any kind. What is your non-negotiable park at Disney World that you're going to say, this is absolutely it? I can't go to Disney and not go to
Animal
fill in the
Kingdom.
blank.
Nobody's gonna say that.
The obvious answer is the Magic Kingdom, right? I mean, is there I mean, if you were to poll 100 people, I think you would get probably 90 Magic Kingdoms, maybe a couple Epcots, maybe a couple Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, listen, I'm more torn than you think. I think I want to say Magic Kingdom, but you know, man, I don't know. Look, if you want to talk, we've talked about, we did this in our rankings episode, right? We did this in the rankings episode where we said, okay, how do we rank each of these parks for certain categories? Well, we ranked them based on attractions, right? Which one came out number one for attractions? Remember?
Yeah, Hollywood Studios. Remember.
So, you know my style of theme parking, right? Like, I am high energy, thrill attractions. I want the next, next, and next. So I'm kind of torn. I'd want to hit Hollywood Studios, but then, so take it a level deeper. You know, what's my favorite? My favorite single attraction. Is this a question later on? What's your favorite attraction? Because I don't want to jump too far ahead. But
no, well, yeah, that's going to be one of your non-negotiables. Is what is an attraction that you cannot, you will not miss going to Disney. So this would be tough for you because you're splitting a park with an attraction.
That's right. My non-negotiable attraction, right, is Cosmic Rewind. That's my non-negotiable attraction. That's not my non-negotiable park, though. So how do you do that? Logically, it doesn't make any sense. Oh, well, I don't care.
Yeah, I would say for me, my non-negotiable is Magic Kingdom. It just everything that comes with it and the castle and I'm opposite of you, Randy. My attraction, my non-negotiable attraction does align with Magic Kingdom. And so, yeah, I would be in that 90 of the 100 you mentioned earlier, Ryan.
Yeah, give me Magic Kingdom. And one thing that did not play a factor in our park rankings, I think, was the nostalgia. So I think if I'm going to one park in a day, I'm choosing Magic because of the nostalgia. So I can forego all the other non-negotiables that I have at the other parks for one day at Magic Kingdom. I'm okay with that.
It's hard to have any trip and not walk down Main Street and see Cinderella Castle or if you're at Disneyland, Sleeping Beauty Castle, right? Like, it's just hard not to see a castle. Yeah. It's hard to go on a trip and not do that. So that's why I say I'm really torn because the nostalgia factor plays into it as well. So I'm looking at the quantity and quality of thrill rides. I'm looking at my favorite ride. You're thinking about nostalgia. Like, what do you do? And I'd probably have to say with you fellas, yeah, it's got to be Magic Kingdom. I just don't think you can go and not go to Magic Kingdom. If you've only got one day to go to the parks, what's the one place you've got to go to? You've got to go there. Even though, again, go back, listen to our rankings episodes. You know, for me, Magic Kingdom ranks pretty low in a number of categories, right?
Yeah.
But when you talk about the whole package and then you talk about some of those intangibles, like what's the college football playoff committee say? Like they pass the eye test, right? Like Magic Kingdom passes the eye test comes to what park is non-negotiable.
Yeah. Yeah. It has more quality wins than some of the others. So I agree with you. Just
so what you're saying is the Magic Kingdom is not Notre Dame.
No, it is not. No, I would say also just from a pure volume, if you're saying, well, what park can we do the most in? I mean, obviously Magic Kingdom has quite a few more attractions available to you to be able to, you know, spread out your day. I mean, for me, again, that's a big deciding factor. Some people might come back and say, well, no, if I'm at Hollywood all day, then that means I get to go on, you know, Toy Story Mania twice and Smuggler's Run twice. And so
Aliens swirling saucers four times.
Yeah. 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 I can see the arguments, but let's move to that. So what are some of your non-negotiable attractions? I know, Randy, you just mentioned Cosmic Rewind, but maybe talk about some of your non-negotiables. You're not going to miss them.
Well, here's the thing about Cosmic Rewind, and this is what makes it difficult. So for me, it may be a non-negotiable, but it may be out of my control, right?
Yeah.
So with that attraction in particular, it's the only one across all the parks that has a queuing system that potentially leaves you out. everything else has some way for you to be able to go and experience it and get on there and do it. Tron now having moved to a standby queue, right? Like, you're not going to miss out on Tron if you say it's a non-negotiable, but you may miss out on the virtual queue, and it's possible that the Lightning Lane single pass sells out. So it's possible for that, for my non-negotiable to be one that I just don't get to do it. And I would cry, and then I would throw a fit, and then that would be too bad, and I'd have to go find something else to do. But other rides that for me are kind of non-negotiable, Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah.
Right. With the exception of that period of time when it was closed down, like, I got to do Big Thunder Mountain at Magic Kingdom. At Hollywood Studios, a non-negotiable for me, it's going to be Tower of Terror. I got to do the Tower of Terror. That's a non-negotiable, even ahead of probably a ride I like better in Smuggler's Run, but you have to do it. And believe it or not, hold on to your hats here, ladies, but at Epcot, my non-negotiable, it's Frozen.
Really?
You know, I'm not going to miss Frozen. I like that ride. I said this to Kayla the other day on our show. I said, you know, the thing about Frozen, I've never gotten off that ride without a big smile. And that tells you everything you need to know about the attraction.
Have we ever done Frozen on one of our guys' trips?
Yes.
Have we? Okay.
I don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe I missed them.
We did. That's right. We did.
Yeah. I've got a picture.
Okay.
Yeah. James was there with us.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Ryan, what are yours? What are your attractions that are...
So at Magic Kingdom, I like to call it the El Trio. It's got to be Pirates, Haunted Mansion, and Big Thunder. Now, I like to make sure that I get all three of those done. I don't like to miss a single one of them. And I feel like when we were there, January this year, when Big Thunder opened up that last like 3 hours that we were there, like, somebody was shining down on us that night, letting us do that. Yeah. So Pirates, Haunted Mansion, Big Thunder at Magic Kingdom. I'm with you, Randy. Tower of Terror at Hollywood Studios. That's almost a non-negotiable for my entire trip. If I don't get Tower of Terror in during my trip, you know, I'm not debating if the trip was an utter failure, but I do leave wanting. I don't like to leave Disney wanting. If I don't get, you know, Tower in, I leave a little wanting. Also, Toy Story Mania. I love Toy Story Mania. Walt, you know, and here's another. Here, this is not a ride, but, you know, Walt Disney Presents at Hollywood Studios.
Really?
I just it's one of those things I just like to walk through every time that I go. It's a quick 5 to 10 minute walk. I don't need to see the video or the movie there every time. But
that's
like
good because it's not showing all the time.
Exactly. And they change it from time to time. But I like seeing the museum pieces, the, you know, Walt's desk and the multi-plane camera replica and, you know, some of the artwork that's there, some of the models that are there. Just, again, the whole reason we have Walt Disney World is because of Walt. So I'd like to kind of go through and kind of look at his life. And is it a non-negotiable? No, but it is one of those things that I like to do every time I go. Animal Kingdom, I got nothing. I love Animal Kingdom, but if I miss the entire park during a trip, I'm not going to cry about that. So
I would agree with you on that one. And the reason why is if I had a non-negotiable there, it'd be Expedition Everest. And since it's broken like 50% of the time, I miss it more often than not. So clearly it's not 100% a non-negotiable.
Correct on that. Yeah. 100% correct.
Dak, what you got?
Yeah. I got Big Thunder as well. In fact, just quick story time. In a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, we're going to be in Disneyland. Their Big Thunder Mountain will be down for refurbishment while we're there. And I am kind of, not slightly, I am depressed going into it, knowing that is, and, you know, the projected time of it being back up and running is past, like, well past. I'm not going to, you know, get strike lightning twice here with it magically opening up like it did on our guys trip. So I'm really bummed about it. Like, this is a non-negotiable for me. And it's, like you mentioned earlier, Randy, it's being taken out of my control. And so it's kind of a bummer. And then Ryan, I, Oh, go ahead, Randy. I see
you. Before you leave Big Thunder Mountain there, though, this is interesting, right? Because we've talked about this before. Clearly, Disneyland and Magic Kingdom versions of the ride, fundamentally different. Conceptually the same, fundamentally different, because they're backwards. Like, the layout is backwards and what it does, and there's presentation. Are you as sad about missing Disneyland Big Thunder Mountain as you would be about Magic Kingdom Big Thunder Mountain? Like, which one would you be more sad about?
Wow, that's a tough question. That's like, which kid do you like better? I don't know. Each one has, you know, a uniqueness about it for different reasons, right? I think the queue is way, way better in Magic Kingdom than it is in Disneyland. It's just more more into the story, I guess. But I think if hard pressed, just because from a, I love being in the mine shaft there at the end, and because Disneyland has that extra mine shaft explosion, probably lean towards Disneyland. Now, once Magic Kingdom goes through their massive refurbishment, who knows, right? That could push that one way up the list on favorite attractions. So I'm excited. I'm very excited. I'm not excited that it's going to be down for, what, a year?
Yeah, long time.
I want to come back to that in a second, Deck.
But definitely excited for where it will be after that year, right?
Okay.
And then I was just going to say, you know, for me, Kilimanjaro Safaris is a non-negotiable. Hmm. I really just, I don't know what it is about that ride. I think because I think I could be one of the little safari drivers. And so I always want to hit it.
I can see that.
I love it. I love that ride. It's just, it's
part of the retirement plan.
So enjoyable every time.
I think you're too old, though. I think there's an age requirement to be a safari driver. They all seem like they're about 16 or 17.
Yeah. Like, we're not letting this old man on our safari.
Now go take out the trash, buddy.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You could drive a boat on one of the waterways.
Ooh, I would love that.
Yeah,
love that. All right. What about?
Hey, real fast. Like, let me come back to you. Going back to Big Thunder again. So let's approach this non-negotiable from a different perspective. So Big Thunder is going to be down, and they're eventually going to start ripping up Tom Sawyer Island, the riverboat area, and that's going to be an absolute disaster with the construction walls up for at least a year, year and a half, maybe even 2 years. We don't know. How big of a deal is it to you guys to go to a park when there is so much construction going on? Because let's remember, Epcot was a freaking disaster for so long because they took so long to finish the entrance and that the upgrades that they made there, around Spaceship Earth. And I mean, I don't want to say that I did not want to go to Epcot, but it did alter the experience knowing that I'm going to go to Epcot and I'm going to see a lot of construction walls up. I'm not going to get to see the nice fountains that they had, prior to construction, stuff like that. So in terms of non-negotiability, right? Mm-hmm. If Magic Kingdom is going to be down, like Big Thunder is going to be down for a year, all this construction going on, does that in any way alter your plans of going back to Disney? No, Randy's like shaking his head. No.
And here's why. You know, and thanks for bringing up the sorest subject in the world for me right now in terms of what they're doing there to Frontierland. But I think the impact is absolutely de minimis. And the reason why is the construction area there, Big Thunder Mountain, Rivers of America, Tom Sawyer Island, like it's all one effectively connected area already. There's only one way to get there. So they put the walls up. It's not like Epcot created actual obstacles where you could not go in certain directions and it required you to go really far out of your way to get to
another point.
Spot, right? Yeah. You're not going to have that kind of hindrance here. So it's not going to, for me, it's not going to impact Magic Kingdom. Now, I am really interested to see, you know, it's obviously going to impact Haunted Mansion. You know, it's going to impact your experience there in a already, and no one's been able to explain why, overly long queue for like the last 2 years. It's going to impact that experience. You're going to have noise. You're going to have You know, you'll have some debris and stuff like that too. They do a really good job, but it'll impact your view and the things you go through there. But overall, I just don't think that it has a logistical, it doesn't create the logistical challenge that we had at Epcot.
I just wonder though, if you're talking to someone who has never been and they're planning a Disney, they're like, hey, when's the best time to go? And you're like, well, you know, they're starting this huge construction project at Magic Kingdom. I might wait until after they're done. For somebody who's never been. I guess that's where I'm going.
I would not tell someone to skip it based off of that.
Yeah, and when it comes down to it, I wouldn't either. I just wonder how much of that is a, for some, if that's a non-negotiable item. Anyway, I digress.
Has there been a time when, I mean, in recent years where there wasn't construction going on at least one of the parks? I just can't remember anything for the last decade. There's always been something going on at one of the parks. And so that's the thing is, if that becomes, for me, it's not a non-negotiable. It may be for someone else. You're right. But I would just caution anyone who puts that as a non-negotiable. Well, you're going to miss out for a long time. Like, you're probably not going to get to a spot. Don't forget, what did Walt say? He said, we're always trying to plus it, right? Yeah. Always trying to plus it. They've never lost sight of that mission. That they even created a, you know, streaming service, Disney Plus, because they were trying to plus how they distributed their content. The parks are no exception, especially since it's like the moneymaker for them. So, yeah, easy call for me.
Okay.
What about any food items? Randy, I know you're not a big go to the park to eat type of guy. I know Ryan is. I know I am, right? But is there any food items that you're like, hey, I really want to get this, or maybe I feel like I'm missing out on something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, it's LeFou's brew. I have to have it. It's like Mike Myers from So I Married an Axe Murderer. They put an addictive, makes me crave it nightly. That's LeFou's brew. Right. I want one right now. That's how bad I want it.
Yeah.
All the time. So LeFou's brew is one. You know, I think a Dole Whip too for me. The Dole Whip is, I think, because it's more iconic. I don't know. Like, I like the Dole Whip. I feel like I have to get a Dole Whip because I'm at Disney, because I can't get it anywhere else. And La Halls. I have to go to La Halls. And not for anything particular. I just have to go there.
Yes.
Just to peruse, just to browse their selection, right?
It's absolutely on my list as well. La Halls is one of those. Again, it's a non-negotiable. I know this is the theme of our show, but it's a mainstay, right? Like, you have to stop there. If you go to Epcot, you must stop in France. So that's on my list. Absolutely. Randy, you got any?
Listen, I think I got a different one for almost every park. If you want to say what's my generic one for someone, and in fact, this would be true for my family, popcorn's a non-negotiable, right? They're not going to go and not get some popcorn. You know, I think Dak, you're not going to go and not get a Mickey bar, right? Those are things that's available everywhere, right?
Yeah, no.
At all the parks.
No, it's not happening. It will not happen.
Yeah.
I've never
been on a trip where you didn't get your Mickey bar.
Yeah. It's like
or two or three.
Four. You know, but I do have, based on each of the parks, I probably have something for each of the parks, you know.
Sure.
I think at Magic Kingdom, right there with you, Ryan, it's going to be a LeFou's brew. I like the Dole Whip idea. That's more of a Disneyland one though for me. I like to get the Dole Whip with that mango salsa stuff they put on there, which is just, it's delicious. So good.
My mouth just got dry.
Yeah. or even at Disneyland, the Mailaroon juice that we like to get back there.
That's a good one.
It's a non-negotiable for me.
Yeah.
But if you really want to talk about food items that I just don't want to miss out, this is where Animal Kingdom shines for me. I got to go and get my Night Blossom, my other frozen drink. I got to get my Pongo Lumpia, right, from the same place. And then I just, you know, I want to eat the chimichurri, the braised beef chimichurri bowl there at Satouli Canteen. Those are, for me, Like my trip's complete if I can get those things. I'll skip everything else at Animal Kingdom just to eat.
I like
Right
it.
on.
No
I
argument
like
from
it.
me on that
Yeah.
one. Yeah.
Where do you guys think you sit when it comes to,
Oh, and don't forget the caramel apple cookie.
oh
Oh yeah,
yeah.
don't forget my caramel apple oatmeal cookie
Apple
at
cookie.
the Karma Kuka.
Oh my God. Where do you guys sit on multipass? I mean, we've talked a lot about virtual queues. Could you go to the parks and not get, whatever they're calling it this week, the Fast Pass, Lightning Lane, multipass? Could
No.
you? Yeah,
The answer
I'm
is
a
no.
hard no. That's a non-negotiable. It's just, I've built that cost into what I am budgeting for when it comes to tickets.
Well,
I
and
just
I, yeah,
know it.
sorry.
Right? Sorry, Randy.
I think we have proven through our recent trips that it's worth the, $25 to $35 per day to get it. Maybe I guess the caveat is Animal Kingdom is the one park that.
Sure.
Maybe not. I'm not sold on it at Animal Kingdom. I think the consensus is that it's probably a 50-50 shot that you're gonna benefit from, getting multipass at Animal Kingdom. But I think the other three parks, 100% every time.
So Animal Kingdom is one that your multi-pass experience, this is my just basic honest opinion. There's only really two attractions that it's going to benefit you. One's the safari. And I'm kind of with you, Dak. It's almost a non-negotiable for me, except for the fact that if I don't have a lightning lane, I'm not going to go on it. I will only experience a safari with a lightning lane. I just won't wait in that line. So the safari's one, and Festival of the Lion King's the other one. Just because it can be unpredictable in terms of whether you'll get in. I don't like to wait in line for a show to find out I didn't get into this showing because there were more lightning lane people. And by the way, I'm pretty sure that there's an unlimited number of lightning lanes available for that show, basically until the theater fills up. So that's not one that they artificially limit and say, oh, there's only this many or whatever. I'm pretty sure that it's basically the limit per showtime is capacity. And so anyways, that would be the only one. But I've done Animal Kingdom without the Lightning Lane system. It works just fine. You can do it. But I will say this, here's the big caveat. We've proven that the Lightning Lane system under the former Genie Plus moniker, we proved how well it worked. It's not the same system anymore.
Yeah.
It's a little bit back to the old FastPass system, but not quite, where now you're competing for some of those first time slots days in advance. Now they've taken it, they've added the Epcot model where they put attractions into tiers and you can only choose a certain amount of your three attractions out of those certain tiers. I'm not sure, having not experienced it yet myself. Kayla just did it and it worked okay for her, right? But I'm just not sure, having not experienced it myself, is it as effective as what we had before? And then add the next wrinkle into it, which is Lightning Lane Premier Pass. How many people are actually going to go to the effort and spend the equivalent of an entire extra ticket for them to have a Premier Pass where they can show up at any attraction at any time? And how's that going to change the dynamics of the rest of our experience at the park? Because you've heard me rage about this. Ryan, you mentioned Toy Story Mania. It's another one. I absolutely won't get on it without a lightning lane because I've been burned so many times. Rock and Roller Coaster, I'll only ride it single rider unless I have a lightning lane. I won't go in the standby line because the lightning lane system basically really punishes standby riders on both of those attractions, like punishes them so bad that it's one of the few times I start to get upset during my Disney trip, right? So I don't know. The question is having Lightning Lane multi-pass at this point a non-negotiable? I would say it's not a non-negotiable, but it's a big asterisk because I just don't know enough about how the newest version of this system works to determine it's true. If we're going back 3 months when the old system was placed, absolutely. That's a non-negotiable for me. Just like you, Deck, I build that into the cost of my trip. I know I'm going to do it. I know that I'm going to do individual Lightning Lane or Lightning Lane single pass now for Guardians, Tron, I'm going to squeeze that in there in my experience too. Why would I do it on Tron with a standby line? Because it guarantees that I get to do it at nighttime, which is when I really want to ride it anyway. So just some of my thoughts there.
Well, I thought you brought up a good point too, as far as non-negotiable. You kind of said it in a different way than how I'm going to say it right now, but that is my max wait time. So my max wait time is right around that 60-minute mark, and for me, anything above and beyond that is non-negotiable. I'm not going to wait in that line for multiple reasons that we don't need to dive into. I think you hit a lot of them. Is One is, I know anybody that does have a lightning lane for that or a multipass for that is going to get precedence. And then number two is I can't stand it. I know I'm going to have another bite at the apple some other part of the day. So I'm willing to skip the line for now and come back later when I know I'm going to have hopefully a better wait time. But if you said, I mean, maybe Big Thunder is the exception because that's my other non-negotiable. But if you said, hey, Toy Story Mania is going to be 60 minutes all day long and you don't have a lightning lane, I'm skipping it. Like, I'm just not going to do it.
I've done it. By the way, I mentioned Tower of Terror earlier. I've done the same thing. I've skipped it because of the wait time. So I think that's an interesting point where we start to talk about, okay, what's the how do we resolve the conflict of non-negotiables? Because they're going to start to butt their
Butt heads,
heads a little
yeah.
bit later on, right? The wait time is going to get to this. It's going to get to the park. It's going to get to, whatever you want to have. Wait time traditionally is going to almost win. But if they said, well, the wait time for Cosmic Rewind was 2 hours and it had a standby line, I would do it,
Yeah.
right? So I think it just depends, right? They taught me that
Sure.
in law school. Just when you want to weasel your way out of answering something directly, you just say it depends.
Yeah, there
And
you go.
Randy, and you just mentioned something. I think when you want something badly enough, it's going to be a non-negotiable. So, Dak, you won't stand in line for 60 minutes, but if I walked up the Tower of Terror and it was a 75-minute wait, I'm probably doing it because I love that attraction and I have to do it on my trip. So, and I don't know if I'd wait for 2 hours for Guardians or for
Yeah.
Cosmic. Sorry. I don't know why I keep calling it. It's Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind,
Yeah,
right?
well, yeah, you're
Yeah.
okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
You're
I don't want to
within
confuse Guardians with the Guardians that's in
within
Disneyland.
tolerance. You're
Okay.
within tolerance.
All right. All
We're
right.
gonna
All right.
allow
Okay.
it.
Okay.
All right, let's throw out a couple of others. What about non-negotiable Disney gear? Wearing Disney gear to the parks.
Yeah,
Is
it's not
that
negotiable. That is all I will wear.
Yeah. Like you're not
Yeah.
wearing Universal gear to Disney.
No, those people
No.
should be barred entrance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I think we're all three in
Or
agreement
Six
here.
Flags. Yeesh.
Gosh. Do they even make Six Flags gear? Could you imagine?
I think you're more likely to see that at Disneyland, right? Where maybe some of the
Sure.
Magic Mountain folks show up. But yeah, no, like you gotta wear a Disney. When we say gear, I say you gotta wear a Disney shirt. Okay,
Yeah.
that's for me the
Yeah.
non-negotiable. You can wear whatever hat you want. I'm okay with that. It doesn't have to be a Disney hat. Partly because, in fairness, I don't think the selection of Disney hats is all that good. The quality isn't super great. The selection's not super great. But there's a lot of good shirts you can have, and you don't have to buy them at the parks. You can get some custom ones. You can buy it off Etsy. But you got to have something that's themed to while you're there. Now, a non-negotiable for me is I will never, ever, ever wear one of those shirts that talks about it being the most expensive day ever. You've heard my rant about that before. I can't stand that. So that's a Disney themed shirt that you would never catch me wearing. But I'm always going to wear something. Heck, right before we started filming, I'm like, I got to go change out of that. I was wearing a Coca-Cola shirt, right? And I was like, I can't wear a Coca-Cola shirt while we're filming our podcast. I had to go put some DuckTales on.
I love
Yeah,
that shirt, man.
my girls get mad at me because I will wear Disney shirts to Universal and some of the other parks, and they'll be like, "You can't wear that in here, Dad." Oh, yes,
It's
I can.
acceptable. It's acceptable.
Yeah.
Universal's not known for their t-shirts, but Disney
Yeah.
is. So
Yeah.
I think it's not all shirts are equal.
I do have a Universal shirt. I wear a Jurassic Park shirt when I go to Universal.
There you go.
I
There
have,
you
I've got
go.
one, okay?
There you go.
But
And how many Disney shirts do you have? Like
I have more than
85?
55.
Yeah.
More than 55. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
All right. Any others that I'm missing? What about yeah, my
you
wife?
You
my
missed
wife
a big
brought
one,
up.
dude.
What's that? I'm missing the big one. I want to save the big one till
okay,
the
you're
end.
saving that for last.
I'm working up to it. So, in that vein, though, my wife, like a castle picture, a family or a group picture in front of the castle, like to her, that would be sacrilege not to take that picture every single trip, right? Like every trip has to include a castle picture.
I would say, too, walking the World Showcase, you have to walk it. You can't go to Epcot and not walk around and see the countries. And of all the countries, I feel like I always have to go in the Mexico Pavilion. I don't ever buy anything in there. And I mean, other than the ride, which is fantastic, but I just feel like I have to go in. There's a smell inside the temple that you can't find anywhere else in Epcot.
Mildew. It's delicious.
It's the water, it's the mildew, it's the Mexican food, it's all of the above, you know? So, yeah, walking the World Showcase and checking out Mexico Pavilion.
You know, someone the other day posted, I don't know, they're in one of the, you know, we all belong to about 3,000 Facebook groups, you know, we're following all these people on Instagram. Anyway, someone posted the other day in one of those groups, I think, they posted a picture of the three Caballeros, and they said something that, like, If I'd have met this person, like, I would have had to have really tried hard not to punch him in the face, right? I said, hey, this ride's outdated and needs a lot of work. And I just wanted to do, dude,
hey,
you don't belong here.
Yeah, get out.
Yeah. Admins, hey. Boot this guy.
So that's a topic for another episode. Which of our attractions are non-negotiable in terms of revamping?
Tom Sawyer Island.
That's a great one.
Well, yeah, Randy's already down one. yeah, we'll have to save that for another episode.
Sure.
Because, dude, I love the Three Caballeros.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to see it updated. I like it just the way it is.
They've updated it over the years. The projectors have gotten better. Like, they update the technology, but the film, the cartoon, and everything, it's still the same. Great. Yeah. Leave it alone. Don't mess with the characters. I say the same thing about It's a Small World. If you're going to upgrade It's a Small World, do what they did at Disneyland. Add in some IP and you can kind of play a game. But don't mess with it. Like, those are things that don't need to be touched.
Impressions de France. I wish they would bring it back full time as opposed to two show times a day. Like, I want to go in there and see that 40-year-old film.
Yeah, I absolutely 100% agree. Don't mess with it.
Yeah.
Tom Sawyer Island.
All right. That's the topic for another episode.
All right. Here we go. So here's the big one. I mean, we're all going to agree on this, but the monster Disney non-negotiable has got to be Happily Ever After. I really think I would lose my mind. I can't say the other word. If I went to Disney and did not get to experience Happily Ever After.
Well, I did.
I mean, I've even been where there have been no fireworks. They just do the show, right? Mm-hmm. The projection show. And it is depressing,
yeah.
Right? Like, you got to have the whole Happily Ever After effect.
No, I agree with you. Absolutely. I say I've done it, and it was called that period of time when they were doing Wishes.
Oh, yes.
It just wasn't as good, you know? And it was actually, when they first launched it, it was so not as good. The backlash was immense. They had to basically come and make Wishes 2.0 before they finally capitulated and said, okay, we'll bring Happily Ever After back and we'll make it even better. And
wait. Are you talking about Wishes? Or are you talking about the show that they did for the 100th anniversary, whatever it was called?
Wasn't that called Wishes?
Wishes was pre-Happily
Ever After.
It was called...
There was a show here.
Yeah, we got a fact check.
Whatever it was called,
here.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, yeah, okay.
Listen, so I told everybody when we started, sometimes I say wrong things, but you understand what I mean, okay? So that was what I maybe said the wrong thing.
You're right.
And to tell you the truth, the fact that I can't remember its name, I guess, proves my point.
It was like Enchantment or something like that, right, Ryan? Ryan's looking it up.
I think you're right. Yeah, enchantment, fireworks, 50th anniversary celebration.
Ugh, enchantment wishes. Who cares? It's not happily
Listen,
ever after.
I will tell a quick story on that. Is I remember it distinctly because I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't do this. There was they gave the countdown of when they were going to stop showing Happily Ever After, and there was a window of time that I could have taken the trip. And for whatever reason, I talked myself out of it. And then when this enchantment or encrapment happened, I literally like went into a mini depression mode because I was like, I can't believe I did not go see the last showings of Happily Ever After, and now I'll never get to see it again. So
Yep.
yeah, it was devastating.
I'm gonna add to
As
you. I'm gonna add to
dramatic as
your.
that sounds.
I'm gonna add to your story. We went and saw it, and we told you to come with us, and you
Yes,
didn't
that's right. That's
come.
right.
Because it was counting down. So this goes back. I said, hey, we want to do the day trip or whatever with our annual pass. This was when we were like, oh, you know what? We've got a pass. Let's go. We're gonna go and see Happily Ever After one last time. Like we just Kayla and I, we left the kids. Like we delayed telling them where we were going for as long as we possibly could. Basically, it was the day we left. I think we told them like, oh yeah, we're gonna go do this. It was a weekend trip. We went and we saw it. We told you to come. You should have done it because whatever came next was not as good.
Yeah.
And to their credit, their 2.0 version was better than what they launched with, but it wasn't Happily Ever After. It
Right.
absolutely wasn't. And so that is 100% a non-negotiable for me. Now, sad thing is, I know at some point it's going to go away. They're going to
Yeah.
change it to something else,
Well,
whether that is months
Wishes
or
was with us.
years.
Yeah, Wishes was with us for about what, 14, 15, 16 years. So
It
I feel
was
like we have
a long
another.
time. It was a long time.
We've got at least, and I think the executives know that Happily Ever After has struck such a chord with the guest and with the
Yeah.
fans. Like for them to take it away, it would have to be replaced with something so extravagant, so heartwarming and tear jerking, and I mean, use all the adjectives you want. It would have to blow Happily Ever After out of the water. I was skeptical because I'm a big fan of Wishes. I love the show Wishes, and then when they took it away for Happily Ever After, it took me, two or three times watching it to okay, yeah, this is actually better. I never felt that with Enchantment. To your point, Randy, Enchantment was not as good, and the fans let them know it. Now, according to Wikipedia, Enchantment is coming in 2025 for After Hours events.
What?
There you go.
Why? I'm not paying for that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep. A limited return
Why?
at the Magic Kingdom began
Who
January
who's in
6th.
charge of this?
I don't know. Not us.
Josh.
Yeah, jury's out on that guy.
Yeah, for sure. Any others that you guys wanted to bring up? That was my big hitter is Happily Ever After. Like I say, I
Well,
just
we can't go backwards now, Deck.
I can't imagine a trip to Disney without Happily Ever After, for
Yeah,
sure.
I'll say that, the one thing, and we're not quite there yet, but it's teetering on the edge for me of becoming non-negotiable, and that is on property versus off property.
Ooh.
I'm almost to the point, fellas, where I just don't think I'll go unless I'm staying on property. Right now, the benefits are just too, they're weighted and skewed way too heavily in favor of being on property in terms of your lightning lane, in terms of your park access, in terms of just the ease and convenience and not having to go to the parking lot. It's getting real close. I know that probably on our next guys trip, we'll still stay off property. And so it is what it
That
is.
will be the nail in
And
the
I'm gonna go, but it might be the last time, fellas.
No, I think you're right, Randy. I think they've swung that pendulum back. I think for a while there, they lost their way on benefiting the on-site, stayers, if
Yeah.
that's a word. And I think Disney has finally figured out, hey, we have to reward people for staying on site. And the way we're going to do that is by switching up, the multi-lane to give them earlier access. And that's how it was before with FastPass, right? It
Yep.
just it worked and it gave them that extra, extra couple of days to have, first crack at the FastPass lanes. And so I think you're right. I think that pendulum is swinging back the other way, and it as long as Disney stays on this path, I think you're right. Staying on site might help. Now, of course, there's all kinds of, like, we could argue this all day long. I think there's all kinds of other sides of that story, right? As far as cost and, getting what you pay for there, as far as staying offsite or onsite, that's a big discussion for maybe another episode down the road, especially as we see how things unfold with the multi-lane and how it works out. Its effectiveness, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I agree.
All right, well,
Well, that's a
listen.
good discussion.
Yeah, great
Great
discussion.
discussion.
Let's finish up. Let's wrap up with a quick magical scenario. I think it's been like 20 episodes since we've done one. So no, I'm kidding. But it feels like a long time since we've done a magical scenario. So just to give a quick recap of what a magical scenario is, we're going to come up with some sort of scenario and put a Disney spin on it and talk about why we feel like this would be, the ultimate way of doing things. So here's the magical scenario.
Right. If you
could only go to Disney for 1 week throughout the year, or you're advising someone to pick the best week to go to Disney World, what is your best week and why? And I'll let you guys kind of think about that for a second and then defend your answer.
I don't need to think about it for a second. I have my answer.
Go.
I,
Let's
for
do
me,
this.
it's going to be probably first or second week of November.
Okay.
You're going to get some cooler weather. You're going to get the Christmas season. You're also going to get the Food and Wine Festival, which I
Nice.
like. Now, I like the food part of that festival. I like walking around the World Showcase and, experiencing the mini kiosks that they have set up from various countries, countries that are not part of the World Showcase, Australia, South Africa, that they get to offer these food options, which I love to try them out. The crowds are, we've talked about this. There's really not a slow season anymore. So, but I think, that week one or week two of November, maybe parents are a little hesitant to take kids out of school because Thanksgiving is coming up and they're already going to have a break then. So, I think for me that week or two is going to be it for me.
That's pretty pretty sound.
I would say that's solid advice. I'll let you go last, Randy, and give your pitch, but mine's going to be right in that same kind of time frame. So mine is actually the week after Thanksgiving. So I'm going to go the week after Thanksgiving for exactly a lot of the same reasons that you just said, Ryan. It's Christmas. It's generally speaking going to be a little bit lower crowd, not necessarily low crowds. I agree, you're not going to get low crowds ever, unless you just catch a lucky break. But for the most part, it's going to be lower crowds because people are going back to school after the Thanksgiving break. And so I just love it. The only thing we do miss, I think, is that food and wine, because at that point you're in full swing with the holiday festival. But I love Disney at Christmas time. I don't think there's a more magical time to be at Disney, and so I just love it. And so that's where I would go. It's very similar to what you're saying, Ryan.
Yeah, and my answer, surprise, it's basically the same as both. Mine is, and it doesn't matter which one you pick, it's basically the same. It's the week before Thanksgiving week or the week after Thanksgiving week. You got Christmas. That's super important to me. You actually do have low crowds. So people do something around those holiday times. They're waiting to go during Thanksgiving week and they're waiting to go during Christmas week, which traditionally are some of the busiest times, right? Christmas week, New Year's, those are some of the biggest crowds that they have at the parks, which means that sandwiched around them are times when people are not going because they're intentionally waiting to do something else. Now, you're right, Dak, you miss out on food and wine. For me, that I don't care. That's not why I go. there's plenty of other good food anyways. And so that's not been the draw for me. But we did this last year, actually. We went the week before Thanksgiving last year. It was amazing. I mean, the crowds were really low. And something interesting we've seen statistically, the crowds have not returned to their pre-COVID levels. Mm. In fact, they did spike up a bunch right after they opened the parks back up, and they were limiting them, and it felt like they weren't limiting them because how many people were there. But the attendance is pretty much down across the board, to the point, and you can see that in their quarterly reports, right? The revenue reports. So I think those are great times to go. You get to experience it all. The weather is cooler. I also think, by the way, my experience has been the weather's more predictable in those times of years. In the summertime, you don't know when the rain is going to come. When it comes to the wintertime, it is a little bit more predictable. The only bad thing about it is sometimes you get low clouds at night, and that'll ruin your happily ever after experience. So,
which is why you do 2 days at the Magic Kingdom.
That's exactly right. And we did that. We experienced it the first night. We couldn't see anything. Like, the clouds were so low, you literally couldn't see the fireworks. You know, a couple of nights later, it was nice and clear and it was beautiful. So that's what I would do.
Yeah. And I think just one more thing on the weather, you're generally speaking not going to have a super cold. I have had that in January where you'll get a weird, you know, cold for February or for Florida, that is, right? Like, you know, 40, well, maybe not even 40s, low.
We did that with our last guys 40s. Trip out there.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, Dak was almost at a point where he wanted to go back to the house.
I'm a wimp. Yeah.
Yeah. That happened that last guys trip. It was cold. It was raining. It was windy. I mean, I think we were in the 40s and Florida 40s.
It was chilly. It was chilly.
It's cold.
So my point there is that you're not going to get that in November. You might unluckily get it in December first week, but highly, highly unlikely. Anyways, so that's it. Our winners are going to be, you know, mid-November to late November, not the week of Thanksgiving, and then that first week after. I love it. Love it.
Awesome. Cool.
Well, listen, guys, great show, great discussion tonight. Listeners, give us a like and a follow on all of our social media accounts. We'd love to hear, what are your Disney non-negotiables? What will you just absolutely not give up whenever you go to Disney?
This was fun, guys.
Thanks a lot. Till next time.
Later.
Bye.